everybody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know all the
Hanukkah rest. Has begun, so.
Yeah, I did see that officially.
You know, growing up, growing up in South Florida, I did have my Hanukkah traditions. Like not personally, but like at school and stuff, we would always have Hanukkah parties and that kind of stuff. I saw somebody yesterday on, I forget who it was, on Instagram, and they were having like a Hanukkah thing and they were frying latkes and they had applesauce and I was like, oh gosh, I missed that.
Well, you can still have your own.
I could, if I knew how to make those things, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you have to make applesauce.
Well, no, not the applesauce, but the latkes, you know, to be able to.
I guarantee you, if you Google it right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
People do that on Food Network. I don't think it's that difficult.
I don't think it is, but I don't fry things.
Oh, okay, well, there's that.
The air fryer.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's potatoes. I put potatoes in my thing and fries and stuff in my air fryer.
Well, I do that too. I don't know. I saw one the other day. It was for like sweet potato and apple. I was like, ooh, that sounds good. Not traditional. Anyway, so we have made an attempt to holify our backgrounds.
Holify. You might want to look that one up.
Make sure. Solidify?
That sounds even worse.
Add some Christmasification to our backdrops.
Mine is more of a wintrification.
There is precipitation in your.
Yes. I was background. Trying to think about what else I could add, but then I ran out of gas. I did this like way early this morning, like, you know, like midnight-ish I started. So
Where did those come from?
The store. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think you made them, but, you know, I just was wondering.
I could have. Now, there is a, I did not make
them. Very crafty. Yeah. You should have. I sent you a thing the other day. All these people are getting famous on TikTok right now with their gift wrapping videos. And I'm like, you could have been.
But see, I'm not on TikTok.
I know. That was my point.
Oh, okay.
That you could have been famous on TikTok for gift wrapping. And then could you imagine, though, like if like Scotch tape or somebody picked you up as like an influencer, all the free gift wrap and tape you could have gotten?
I don't need any more gift wrap.
That's true.
if I were to show anyone how much wrapping paper I have, you would be like, what in the world? Like, like, why do you have this? I have a gift wrap room. It's dedicated to wrapping gifts, which, by the way, is a bad time. It's COVID has really just put a kibosh on.
Well, maybe, because I find that now because typically my family would get together, but I would still wrap gifts, but I'm not like a wrapper. Like I would typically, we would just put stuff in the gift bags that we pull out the closet the night before Christmas. And then you got to put the bags back in the closet. So we're not like wrapping stuff, but now because I got to mail it, I'm wrapping things. What I have realized though, is that every wrapping paper in Target, which you think is just some regular embellishment, is glitter. So when you take the plastic off, it's like a glitter that just, I mean, my house, I'll be finding glitter until Easter at this point. I'm like, I don't know how much more vacuuming I can do.
I have an entire room for all of the explosion and stuff. I don't think I have glitter paper, but I have like ribbon, bow, like all the stuff.
I mean, looking right now at my computer, there's glitter on my keyboard.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but.
Yeah. At least it's not on your forehead.
It probably is. I mean, seriously, like if I were to shake my hair, there's probably glitter somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, we always had the little piece right there on your lip and you can't get rid of it. Yeah.
I remember one episode of Making the Band. Do you remember where I don't know why this. I don't. Did you ever watch Making the Band?
I did. Yes, okay, of course.
So when Day 26 was on there, and the lead singer guy, he came and he had on some like hat that was like real glittery and flashy, and Diddy was like, first of all, you got glitter on your forehead. I mean, it was so funny because he thought, whatever happened, he had an attitude about something. So he came in, he was mad about something, and he thought he was just going to be like, whatever. And then he was like, you got glitter. Like, that would shut a man down real fast.
Right. First of all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the only deal. And then all of my ornaments have
glitter.
Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, and the wrapping paper. Well, I showed you. So like I'm saying, so when I saw this wrapping paper, I was like, oh, that's cute, the little trees. I didn't realize until I opened the package that every one of these little trees.
What's in there? Is there a gift in there?
No.
Oh, I thought that was my Christmas present.
Well, do you want me to send you a glitter bomb? Because that's what that would be. I wouldn't send that paper to nobody.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to it if there was something in the bomb.
I wouldn't send that particularly wrapped package to anybody, because that's like sending people the glitter bombs, like the packages that you can send.
Those are the funniest videos ever. I'm sorry. I just think it's funny. Or then when you watch it in slow motion and it swirls out, it's just kind of cool. I don't know.
Until people are inhaling glitter, and then, you know, that's not good.
That part. It wasn't, the videos I watched didn't have any, no one was harmed in the glitter.
Just cut off at that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anywho, but yes, I'm excited to be able to have decorated this year. I'm going to choose to look at that. I'm never here for the holidays. So this year, you know, I love decorating for Christmas. Like, that's, I love it, but I'm never here, so I don't bother. And you, I mean, usually, you know, because, you know, we work together. I'm like, I kind of go away for Thanksgiving, then I come back for a little bit, and then I go away for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, the last half of the, you know, these last couple of months are kind of in and out. But this year, because I'm here, I was like, well, I'm going to decorate. And so I bought a tree. Some stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, exciting. Anyway, so yeah. Speaking of Christmas and gifts and giving back and all that stuff, we have a great guest, three great guests today. It's just one interview, but three people at one time.
It's the Thompson family. And if you're a longtime Good Work Show listener, you may remember them. They started the organization Empowered Readers. And they are coming back on the show to give us an update about what they've been doing. And the last time, sort of the genesis of all of this, is their daughter, Salah. She was unable to join us because we were on the phone. She was in school at the time. So this is a couple years ago. But, you know, due to the situation that it is, she's actually at home going to school. And so we get a chance to meet her and see her face and hear all about what the Empowered Readers team has been doing, and then also get an update on the book, because what sort of came out of all of that was a book that Salah had authored with her dad. And so we're excited to see what's up next for Penelope the Pirate Princess and the stories. Yeah.
And if you don't love it just because of that name, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear from the Thompson family, hear what they're up to, and then more importantly, how you can support their efforts, because they're doing some really great work here in the community. And glad that you're here with us.
Yeah.
So look at my pretty tree. All right, guys. Up next, we'll be back with the Thompson family. That's I just changed all their whole names, but you know what I'm talking about.
We'll get it right when they come on.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Good Work Show, everybody. We are excited because we have a whole family of guests on today. It's very rare that we have an entire family. I don't know. I think maybe the Thompson family has been the only, like, full family. Well, actually, no, the OMG kids, we had them on before us. They were the full family, but we rarely have that. So we're excited And it's the holidays, so we're excited to have the Thompson family with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. So you all are the brains behind Empowered Readers. So you've been on our show. It's been a little while. We'd love to have you, our guests, back to give us an update on what things are. But we want to take a step back. For those folks who don't know about Empowered Readers, tell us a little bit about who you are, the organization, how it all came to be, and the story behind the story.
All right. I'll be happy to start and chime in with that. And you guys just, you know, chime in where you want to. So we started the Empowered Readers Literacy Project after Salah started kindergarten. And after her first day of school, she came home and she was visibly upset. And she talked to my wife and said, like, hey, you know, my wife asked her, what's going on? And she said, well, some of my new friends don't know their sight words, their ABCs, how to read and spell their name. And we told her, we took that and used it as a real teachable moment and explained to her different circumstances of families. And sometimes mommies and daddies don't know how to read, so they can't read to their kids. Sometimes they don't have access. They don't have books at home because they don't have a lot of resources. So that's an impediment. You know, sometimes, you know, they're working jobs at times when we traditionally do call story time. And, you know, and the most importantly, if their parents didn't read to them as children, they don't understand the importance of reading to their own kids. And she said that made her sad and she wanted to do something about it. And she challenged us, right? And my wife and I were just like, okay, if you want to challenge us, what do you want to do? And she said, we should give away books. And how many books did you say you want to give away? You can keep doing it.
20,000.
Yes. She said she wanted to give away 20,000 books. And as after we like listened to that, we started doing some research and digging and found out all of these statistics that were tied to illiteracy that were literally mind blowing. And you know, that you know, kids who weren't reading proficiently by the end of third grade were 4 times more likely to drop out of school, end up on welfare. That 80, what was the percentage? I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Like 85% of kids in the juvenile justice system are functionally illiterate.
Right. And 2/3 of kids who are not who are not reading by grade level by the end of third grade end up on welfare or in jail. And we also saw some really troubling stats that show that some prisons actually forecast the number of prison cells they were going to build based upon third grade reading levels. And for us, that was just like, wait a second. If all of these things happen because of illiteracy, why aren't we investing more of our time into making sure that people are literate? Because that seems to be the keystone, mm-hmm. right? If we can fix this one problem, it helps fix so many problems downstream. So that's after we looked at that, understanding that those numbers disproportionately affected people of color that look like us and look like our children, we said, like, you know what, Salah, challenge accepted. We are going to do this thing with you.
The challenge never ends. 20,000
books. Not until we get to the 20,000 books. That is correct.
Right.
Awesome.
That's incredible. And yeah, I mean, those stats, and there's so many organizations around our area that they do use that third grade benchmark for, you know, a lot of the work that the United Way does with their child wellness index. They're looking at that third grade benchmark, and it's so important. And I can't help but think about my mom, who was a second grade reading teacher. And that was how I, you know, speaking to people bringing that into your home. And I think about how fortunate I was because I grew up surrounded by books because, you know, both of my parents being educators, it was something that was important to them. But how that one thing really does set the whole tone or can set the tone for folks' lives is really powerful. So thank you for the work that y'all are doing. There are so many different programs and stuff that you have going on, but let's dig through some of them and kind of how it's helping you reach that goal. So you have one called Project 500. So talk to us about that one, because I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you want to talk about it? Okay, so when we first found all those statistics, We also found this other statistic that said that if kids had 500 books or more in their home, that they would finish 2.5 more years of school on average. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, okay, wait a second. That's the difference between somebody graduating and dropping out. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that is, you know, and that's regardless of education level. That is just having proximity and access to books, right? Yeah. And because humans are curious, that we are naturally going to gravitate towards that. So then we decided, okay, hey, this is something that we could work on, you know, building out as a way, as a means to get those books into the hands of families and get families to have, you know, those 500 books. And I think the other thing that kind of hit us as we were going about this too, you know, it's like, we really want to emphasize diversity in diverse books, because some of the statistics that we saw and we experienced it when we were first trying to find books for Salah, was that there was just not that many books that featured Black people as the lead characters, the lead protagonists in the books. And, you know, that was troubling. And so I want to say that 14%, I think the stat was 14% of all,
children's books have minority characters as the lead character. And then only 6% of books with minority characters are written by people of color. So we saw that huge disparity, not only in representation in the books, but in authenticity of the origin of the books and the story of the book. And so as my husband was saying, it was really important to us, now that Salah made us aware of it, and just her life trying to get books for her made us aware of it. We realized that it was an issue not only for our family, but in families everywhere, not just people of color, but we realized that her peers needed to see her and other friends of theirs who looked like her reflected in the pages of the books that they read as well.
Yeah. So that prompted something that was really cool, a project that you all got to work on as a family, and sort of birthed out of something that came from Salah. So tell us about what you all did, because you looked at that stat and said, boy, this has got to change, which is, I mean, I'm glad you shared the numbers with us, because that is entirely, you know, disparity between that. And so you came up with a really cool way to address that. Tell us a little bit about the story.
Yeah. You want to tell it, or you want me to tell it? How about I start?
And then
you tend to want to take over. So I'll start and then you chime in as needed. So when Salah was 5 years old, 4 years old, she had said she wanted to write kids' books, right? And we were I was very dismissive of it at first. I'm like, oh yeah, you want to write a book? Here's some crayons, here's some paper, you know, go draw, you know, over here, and then make a book and just give it to me. You know, typical parent of a four-year-old type of thing, right? So, but this child right here is incredibly persistent, right? So So I went through this season of life where I was out of work. And so she was just like, when I was at home one day, she said, well, you know what, Daddy, you don't have a job anymore. So you don't have anything to do, so you can help me write my books. And
you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. He tries to deny it now, but.
Uh-huh.
And then I was just like, first off, who are you talking to? Second off, if we're going to write a book, like, what is your book's character going to be named? And she said, Penelope the Pirate Princess. And I said, why Penelope the Pirate Princess? And she told me, she said, Daddy, well, you're a Raiders fan, and Raiders are pirates, and Mommy's a queen, and princesses are queens in training. Yes. So Penelope... you are a princess. Yeah. So Penelope the Pirate Princess. And I was just like, okay, that is extremely specific and
yes.
So much sense. And then I asked her, I told her, like, hey, look, if you're going to have this character, it has to live someplace. Like, we live in a house in Atlanta and the United States, in the state of Georgia, in the United States of America. Your character has to live someplace also. And that's when she came up with the...
Where does Penelope live?
They can't hear you.
Tell the people.
The Ark Mighty Kingdom.
And she came
our mighty kingdom, which is, I see that on the wall behind you. The
yes, see? You can see.
What you don't see is there's a rug down here of the kingdom. There's the original map that she drew on the king of the kingdom on a drafting table back here. And that's the beautiful part. That's how we got started. Like she drew out the map on this drafting table on this white piece of paper. I put it underneath the glass top of a drafting table and I gave her dry erase markers. And she would just come up here and draw all these treasure maps and orate all these stories. And I would just record her doing it. Then I'd type up what she would say and read it back to her. And she'd be like, no, let's change this. So we need to add this in. And we just went back and forth like that, very Captain Underpants style, mm-hmm. if you're familiar, until we arrived on the manuscript for the book. And then we did it, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
She's a little camera shy today.
Now, I think everybody at some point reaches their Zoom limit. So
yeah.
Everybody gets Zoom there.
Class all day, all morning so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nancy had a Zoom question.
Wow. She's got more Zoom today than I do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's incredible. And I mean, kudos to all of you for having an idea and seeing it through, because I'm pretty sure that there was a book I think I wrote when I was in kindergarten. My, as educated minded as my parents were, they were like, that's great. Here's the box where it can go.
Put that in here with the finger painting.
Right. It didn't get published. I should go try to find my book.
It's so funny. My wife wrote one called It Rained All Day.
And it rained.
Excuse me, I forgot the and.
And. Don't you forget her and, because that's the dramatic part.
Story. I love that.
The school had to bind it, like you put a little piece of cardboard and some.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Fine. My mom still has it, but that's as far as it goes.
At least you have yours. I'm pretty sure mine is long gone, but I won't hold on to that. I'll let it go. So before we have to go, though, tell us how people can support your efforts and what you're doing. I know you're doing a bunch of other stuff. So tell folks how they can support you in all the work that you're doing, because it's so important, and how they can find the books.
Yeah.
Because it's holiday time and people need things under the tree.
Yes.
So you can go to theauthenticprincess.com. You can also go on Amazon and search for No Repeated by Your Princess.
Can I repeat that so they can hear a little bit? No. So Salasta, you can find her books at theauthenticprincess.com. Or you can find it on Amazon, preferably theauthenticprincess.com. And she and her sister also have a second book coming out on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Exciting. So
what's the title?
It's another in the series. It's called Penelope the Pirate Princess, A Very Bad Case of the Glitter Spot Dots.
I love it.
But it's to teach kids about COVID and help them kind of learn how to cope and understand, you know, this time that we're living in. And as to what we're currently doing, we are doing a holiday book drive, a diverse holiday book drive, to get people to come out and bring books, diverse books, for kids during this holiday season. You want to tell them a little more?
Yeah, in the books, we're donating them to Cool Girls, Inc. and Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. So our goal is to collect 1,000 diverse books and be able to deliver them. We've delivered some to Cool Girls already. And deliver the rest of them to the hospital so that kids there can have some diverse books and diverse cheer for this holiday season. And we're working with the Hughes campus over here in downtown, right next to Grady, as a place where we're distributing those books at. So if people would like to get involved and donate books, they can bring the books out. We're at a number of farmers markets throughout the city. On the weekends, we have book donation stands there, Freedom Farmers Market, Brookhaven Farmers Market, Dunwoody Farmers Market,
Grant Park Farmers Market,
Avondale Estates Farmers Market,
Green Market at Piedmont Park,
and the Peachtree Farmers Market, Peachtree Road Farmers Market in Buckhead. You can also go onto our website, empoweredreaders.org, and you can donate books there for every dollar. When you donate the books, there's a dollar denomination that goes towards that tells you how many books you will get that you will be donating with what you support us with. So,
and And I just like to add to that, that we've had such great community support. We found that so many of our citizens really care, you know, about our kids. And especially during this time, there's been just so much racial turmoil and unrest. People are really rallying around the importance of making sure that there's diversity and inclusion, and that all kids, you know, really during this time feel represented and empowered. And so we are really excited. We've been excited to see how others have really kind of galvanized around our efforts, and the outpouring has just been amazing.
And the other thing is, if you're an author and you have authored a diverse book and you want to donate those as well, you can have those, you can send those to us. If you submit a form on our website, we'll give you instructions on how to send those out, because we've actually had a couple of authors reach out to us and say, hey, I want to give you 50 books or 100 books for you to give away. So
fantastic. Yeah, that is so cool. So I love the upcoming book. Everybody should make sure that you, the glitter spots, glitter spot dots, right?
That's like, right.
Yes. Glitter spot dots actually sound pretty cool, but if it's COVID, I don't want it. But
right.
if it really is glitter, I might want that in my life. I don't know.
Here's the inside track, inside tip on it. They make you laugh so hard that it's hard to breathe.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I love everything that you're doing. Congratulations to you, Salah, for being like a repeat author. You've got a whole series now. That's like, it was so great, especially being so young. You're doing some things that even most adults aren't doing, and you have an entire storyline and organization behind what you're doing. Khalil and Nicole, thank you so much to what you're doing to advance not only just people having access to diverse books and books that feature, you know, children and characters of color, but also to advance reading and turn the tide on all of those statistics. So super important work. Everybody, please be sure to support the Thompson family in purchasing the books. It's the holiday season. Go on Amazon, buy all of them in the series. Make sure
you go to their website.
Go to their website. Yeah, that's right. And make sure you buy them there. Also, make sure you meet them at the farmers markets, drop off those books, tell everybody that you know so that they can get the 1,000 books that they're trying to get before the holiday season is over to those children who desperately need it. This is a great cause. The 200,000 books still on. So where are we on that number to the 200,000?
So when at the end of this diverse book drive, we still have a long way to go, but we'll be right at 12,000 books. So
fantastic. Well, hey, awesome. That's okay. You still got time. And yeah, the more you talk about it, the more you're going to get there. So every book counts, every word counts. Thank you so much for coming back and checking in with us on the Good Work Show. We didn't get to meet Salah the last time because she was in school. So it's actually this whole situation with Zoom and COVID has given us a chance to actually meet you. So it's good to meet you.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Have a great holiday.
Thanks. Thank you.